Well, hello everyone. My name is Sam. For those of you that I haven't had the chance to meet before, I'd love to, as has been said, remedy that after the service. How great is it that we get to open God's Word together this morning, that we get to explore it and unpack it and, God willing, understand it. It'll be really helpful if you have a Bible open with you this morning so that you can refer to it throughout, especially if you have it open to Psalm 31 that was just read for us. This is our last week in the Summer Psalms series. Next week we'll be moving on to other things, but let me pray and then we'll get stuck into Psalm 31. Dear Lord, please open our hearts to receive your word. Fill us with your spirit as we focus on unpacking and applying the truths of Psalm 31 today. Bless this time we have together that it would strengthen our trust in you. Amen. What should God's people do when the joy of life seems to be drowned out by the depths of despair and the worries of the world? What should God's people do when the relationships with friends or family or those sitting next to you in your row today sour? When they shatter to pieces and it seems like there's nothing you can do to fix it? When friends and even strangers look at you with contempt, what should you do? When some illness or sickness or age has affected your ability to live the way that you wanted, where can you turn for hope? When your soul, the very essence of who you are, is worn down by grief and anguish that seems to drown out all other thoughts, to whom can you turn? The psalm that was just read for us today, that you hopefully have open in front of you, the corporate prayer that is Psalm 31, was intended for God's people to be reminded of the answer to those questions. Trust in God. David, the author, is clearly experiencing and writing about an urgent need for deliverance from some rather serious situations. He's experiencing great distress. Look with me in your Bibles at verses 9 and 11 to get a taste of this. He says in verse 9, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief." And then jumping to verse 11, "Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me." His very being, both inward in his soul and outward in his flesh, is in distress. His enemies are numerous. His friends and even strangers cannot stand to have anything to do with him. We see in this psalm a complete breakdown of the physical, spiritual, and relational life of this person. And to hear this morning may in itself bring you some small comfort today. To hear that this is actually in the Bible. That the Bible, unlike most people's Instagram feeds or slideshows of people's holidays, is not a highlight reel of perfectly curated happy moments. But actually, God's Word does contain the darker side of life. It's realistic in its portrayal and expectations of humanity. But in its realism, thankfully, it does not lose sight of a greater reality. Because in Psalm 31, there is hope. Thankfully, verses 9 to 14, that big chunk of despair right in the middle, is not the entire psalm. The psalm, whilst arising out of pressing need that pleads for deliverance, interweaves its cries for help with declarations of trust in God. It's this trust in God which balances out the despair. Look with me at verse 14. After lamenting about the physical, spiritual, and relational despair and turmoil that David is feeling, he declares, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." It's this trust in God that is the answer to those questions we began with. This realization and full belief that my times are in your hands, in God's hands. This psalm declares that even in the depths of physical, spiritual, or emotional or relational desperation, deliverance is found in trust in God, in turning to Him, in taking comfort in the fact that our times are in His hands. What does it mean by this statement, "My times are in your hands"? Well, put simply, our times is all the times in which we find ourselves in our lives. The times we find ourselves in and all times we will ever experience are in the hands of God. What does it mean to be in God's hands? Well, to have something in hand is to be in control of it. It's not a passive thing, but rather it's active. So David here, in the midst of these desperate times, is reminding himself that God has got this. God knows what is happening. God knows his pain. God knows what's occurring, and in fact is actively shaping this moment and these times according to his will and his glory. Because the psalmist is experiencing a really tough situation. But in all his distress, his physical weakness or infirmity, his spiritual emptiness or despair, his relational breakdowns or anxieties, the cure, the remedy, is always trust in God. He always comes back to trusting in God for refuge, for deliverance, for rescue, knowing that his times are in God's hands. It's clear for David that locking this at the core of his being, knowing the truth that his times are in God's hands, putting his trust in the power and promises of God, reminding himself that he trusts in God who has power over all things, it's clear for David that this does two things. For David, it is the cure for present worry. And secondly, it replaces future dread with instead future hope. We're going to step through each of those in turn as they work themselves out in the psalm. Firstly, the cure for present worry. For starters, what is the present worry that is in Psalm 31? Well, the psalmist, David, here is experiencing a really tough situation, but the language used is rather general. And with the corporate nature of the psalm, it seems clear that the intention is not actually to point us towards a specific situation in David's life, but rather the general language of affliction, a soul in anguish, enemies surrounding, strength failing, friends deserting, and terror on all sides. Uncertainty about the present situation is meant to take David's personal experience and create a prayer for all people, for all God's people to pray in different contexts of struggle, affliction, and despair. And we actually see Psalm 31 used like this in the rest of the Bible. Jonah draws on the language of Psalm 31 when he's stuck in the belly of the fish and cries out to God for salvation. Jeremiah does the same. And most notably, Jesus quotes this psalm in his final words on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 46, when Jesus was experiencing intense suffering upon the cross, the Gospel of Luke records the line in Psalm 31:5 as Jesus' final words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The ultimate act of trust in God, giving his life as part of God's ultimate plan. Although, thankfully for us, in Jesus' case, he leaves out the next line that comes after Psalm 31, verse 5. He doesn't say, "Deliver me, Lord, faithful God." No, Jesus commits himself fully to the plans of his Father, knowing that for him there is to be no deliverance from his suffering. Instead, that his death on the cross would provide the ultimate deliverance for those who trust in him, so that those who trust in him might receive the deliverance that he gave up, and they might receive deliverance from sin. For David in Psalm 31, knowing that my times are in your hands, that his times are in God's hands, meant that all present worry could be laid upon the Lord. Because of his trust in God, he could even be glad. He could even rejoice, knowing that his afflictions are seen by God, that the God of the universe knows the anguish of his soul. And for us today, the hope is the same, if not even greater. A full belief in the statement of Psalm 31 that our times are in God's hands is the cure for present worry. If our situation, our struggle, our hardships, our lives are in the hand of God, then there's actually no use for worry. And David knows this clearly, and I hope that we can get this too. Now, I'm not saying that there is no cause for acknowledging when times are hard. I'm not trying to downplay the severity of physical, spiritual, and relational despair that we can experience, that you might be experiencing right now. And I don't think that's what this psalm is doing either. But rather, what Psalm 31 offers is a way out. It urges the follower of God to be strong and take heart, because your hope is in the Lord. The difficulties of life and the struggles you face, the struggles that you will have to face in this life, are likely immense. We live in a fallen, broken world, and the effect that sin has on every facet of this life cannot be understated, but the hope of Psalm 31 comes in realizing that however great the suffering, our trust is in an even greater God. Regardless of the situation, whether your times are bitter or sweet, the heart of Psalm 31 to those situations says, "But I trust in you, Lord." It says, "You are my God. My times are in your hands." Where this lands for me is realizing that I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to spend less time fretting over my concerns, and more time with the God of the universe who can actually help. Saying to God, "Here are my worries and concerns, please deliver me." You see, the orientation of our hearts in trying times must be towards the one possible source of salvation from those trying times. And Psalm 31 teaches us that that's God. When times are hard, when the weight upon your life, your soul, and your relationships is crushing, pray. Bring that pain to God, who cares. Do as David does here. Remember that your trust is in the God of the universe. And this leads us into the second result of fully believing our times are in his hands. It's really just the continuation of that first truth, continuing the cure for present worry on into the future. Because if we fully believe that our times are in God's hands, it replaces future dread, fear of what is to come, with instead hope for the future. The psalmist knows this. David knows this. Even though when writing this, David could only see in part the plans of God, he still trusted in them, and it led him to rejoice. He writes in verse 19, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." But oh, if David only knew how good God has actually been to us dreadful sinners. He sent his own son, Jesus, to die for us. And we can know with certainty what David could only dream of: the hope of eternal life. John 3:16, that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And if eternity is secure, then what possible future could we fear? If all my times in this moment and to come are in the hand of God, how can I worry? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, when speaking about worry and the faithfulness of God, draws this line of logic for us in Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. I won't read it all out, but essentially he says, don't worry about your life and clothes and trivial things, because God is in control and he cares about you. If our times are in God's hand, there is no need to worry about tomorrow, for God's got it. But interestingly, in both the Sermon on the Mount and in Psalm 31, the new orientation of the heart that fear and worry gives way to is not peaceful coastal relaxation with a margarita in hand. The worry that you no longer need to have because your times are in God's hand is not replaced with a carefree existence, but rather being glad and rejoicing in the love of God with others who also love God. Because this psalm was intended to be sung corporately by the people of God. God's people should declare together, as the people of God, that their trust is in him, to remind one another of this fact and to bring their concerns to the Lord and to ask for deliverance together. To do as we see in verses 23 and 24. Encourage one another to be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, whether life is sweet or bitter, the invitation of Psalm 31 is to remember that God is in control, and that if your trust is in him, to know that he's got this. Your times are in his hands. So that means you can spend less time worrying about those times and more time with him, asking that he may deliver you, provide you refuge and strength. This doesn't mean that all affliction will cease and pain will dissipate. But the worry about the future and about what shall happen can be quieted with the realization that the God of the universe cares about you. That the God of the universe cares about you enough to solve your biggest physical, spiritual, and relational problem: sin. God has provided the deliverance that you needed. When Jesus committed his spirit into the hands of God, he paid the price for sin, offering ultimate deliverance, winning through his death eternal hope for those who put their trust in him. So let me invite you this morning to dwell upon and get right within your thinking and faith that your times are in God's hands. And let that freedom from worry allow you to, in turn, encourage those around you with your perseverance in trust. That as you experience hardship and continue to declare, "But I trust in you, Lord." That as you face temptation and guilt, grief and sorrow, and yet continue to say, "Lord, you are my God. My times are in your hands." That faithfulness can be a great encouragement to your Christian brothers and sisters, for them to see God's strength in your weakness, for them to see through you God holding you secure when you would have no hope of doing so yourself. I hope today that you've been encouraged and challenged to remember that your times are in God's hands. If those times are sorrowful, then you can take some comfort in his deliverance. If those times are joyous, then praise God for that. Please join me in praying that we would hold to this belief and trust firmly and unswervingly. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us in our darkest and our brightest moments to continually remember that you are our God and our trust is in you, to know that you care for us and that you've got this. Dear Lord, please help us throughout our lives to hold this at the center of who we are, that you are our God, our trust is in you, and our times are in your hands.